Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
That's how I like to start off a Payday Friday. What's up, Goo? Hey, Goo's going to be joining us a little bit later. We got a crossover starting today officially on a Payday Friday. I'm going to keep saying it. Welcome in, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. Those of you who are just getting off work, getting ready for work, getting ready to do whatever it is you got to do on, again, a beautiful day here in the Bay. At least I hope it is. It's, you know, dark out right now. It's 6:06 a.m. We've got Sam Lubman filling in for Joe Shasky today. Sam, good morning to you. You look very dapper. You got your Giants jersey on in a massive series. Starts today down at Oracle Park against the hated Los Angeles Dodgers. But you know what? All that hate, I want to see it to be like a good use this weekend. That means I want to see like Giants fans actually attend the Giants-Dodgers games. I would love to see that all weekend long, starting tonight when Verlander takes the bump against Yamamoto. So that's exciting. We just had Thursday Night Football last night to kick off week two, and it's going to be a crazy week two because we've got Mac Jones starting in place of Brock Purdy. And it's going to be this way for at least 1 week. Well, hopefully Mac can survive this week like Brock couldn't in his first week, Sam. But there is so much to get into with this game alone. And I can't wait to do it with you, buddy.
Yeah, you hello there, Spadoni. Yeah, it's always fun to be able to just jump in the chair with you. And I'm going to – it is a big weekend, Giants-Dodgers. Yeah, I know it's a big weekend for Mac Jones. We're going to talk lots of Niners Saints. Don't worry anyone out there who gets worried about that. But no, I just got – Giants, Dodgers, it's got on the shirt today, man. Just keep calm and hate the Dodgers.
Oh, my God.
That's what we're doing. That's what we're all about. That's where I'm at. I'm in the beat LA mood right now. Oh, such a big weekend for Giants, Dodgers, and just a game and a half out. I was watching that Phillies-Mets game last night. Mets go up 4-0, like, oh, well, we're screwed. Mets are going to win. We're going to be 2.5 back. That stinks. Let's watch this football game, I guess. And all of a sudden, I see my phone start buzzing. It's like, why is my phone buzzing? Oh, the Phillies came back and won. So Giants, game and a half out going into this massive series. I'm very excited about that. Not almost as excited. I'm definitely more excited than the Mac Jones start. But
okay.
Still pretty excited about this Mac Jones start. Only because, I'm just curious to see if he can handle it. You know, this is the guy that Kyle Shanahan apparently wanted, maybe wanted. I don't know if he wanted. He's thrilled to have him now. To be a fun weekend.
You know, I kind of want to start it off right there. Now that you kind of presented it that way, and I didn't expect this to be the question right off the bat. By the way, shout out to those watching on YouTube, brought to you by First NorCal Credit Union. For a low-rate auto loan, apply online or just ask for First NorCal Financing at the dealer. And as always, coming to you live from the Laughing Monk Studios. Laughing Monk, actually brewed in San Francisco. What do fans have more belief in this weekend? That Mac Jones and the 49ers can win in New Orleans?
What a question.
Or that the Giants could take the series against the Dodgers?
Oh.
Which one?
Why you gotta do that to me?
I think it's a fair question.
I literally found out at 5:30 I'm doing this show with you, and then you just throw that at me at 6:09 in the morning.
Why not? What do you have more faith in this weekend? Mac Jones and the 49ers or the Giants getting it done against the Dodgers? 888-957-9570. We'll be talking to Jermaine Wiggins at 7:30. Super Bowl champion, obviously former tight end with the Patriots and knows the Patriots very well because he's a radio host over at our sister station, WEEI in Boston, Sammy. So he knows all about that very well when it comes to Mac Jones and his time spent over there. We'll get to know the quarterback a little bit more. And speaking of quarterbacks, Bobby, don't call him Herbert, Hebert, because it's French, you know. Bobby Hebert, former quarterback and obviously a guy that knows the Saints very well, is going to be joining us at 8:30. Plus, we have another guest, not one, not two, but three guests today,
wow,
Sammy.
Three guests.
Man, football
producer
heavy.
Of the show working overtime.
You're crushing it. Curtis DeLoach. And it's not a household name for people probably on the West Coast, but if you don't know who Curtis DeLoach is, I'm sure you've heard of Steve Gleason, though. Steve Gleason, the guy that blocked the famous punt on the first game back at the Superdome after a couple-year hiatus due to Hurricane Katrina down in New Orleans. Steve Gleason was the one that blocked that punt, but Curtis DeLoach is the one that recovered it in the end zone for the touchdown. Again, the first touchdown since Hurricane Katrina at that time when they would go on to beat the division rival Atlanta Falcons. So we'll talk to Curtis DeLoach about that. Obviously 20 years since Katrina now, which is just crazy to say. So we'll get the lay of the land there from him and that moment. And, you know, maybe we'll touch on the Saints and 49ers as kind of a non-traditional rivalry, Sammy, because these two teams, you know, they've done a lot in the past, I don't know, 5, 6, 7, 8 years, whether it's Sean Payton. We'll just go the last decade. Sean Payton, Jim Harbaugh, Drew Brees, Alex Smith, Vernon Davis. I mean, that game was insane, right? Then you go to Jimmy G, George Kittle, the catch. Oh, my God, Kevin Burkhardt on the call. It was incredible, right? You could go back into the 90s, the 80s. I know Shasky, he was champing at the bit to talk about Archie Manning and the comeback from Joe Montana and everything. I was like, I wasn't alive for that, but you could tell me about it. So can't wait to talk about all that with all those different guests today. And again, I'm excited for this weekend. It actually starts off tonight, but also tomorrow, Sammy. You got your alum, the University of Miami, against University of South Florida. Maybe it's a non-traditional rivalry starting there.
Oh, it's never fun being on upset watch for that one. Well, yeah, USF, they've thrown some haymakers at Miami over the years. In fact, it was a loss to USF that got Randy Shannon fired way back in 2010, which unfortunately led to the Al Golden era, which if that doesn't happen, is Al Golden still the defensive coordinator with the Cincinnati Bengals? I don't know what that alternate reality looks like, but yeah, USF, Miami played them last year, beat them 50-15, but it was much closer than that final score would indicate. That's enough Canes talk for today, though.
There you go. You didn't think you were talking Miami football here at 6:12
on a Friday
morning.
There's a lot of things I didn't think I was going to be doing at 6:12 on this Friday morning that are happening right now.
Well,
but hey, I'm just happy to be here with you.
When you heard the news, Sam, that Brock Purdy, and it broke yesterday morning at the start of our show, Ian Rappaport, NFL Network, it's going to be at least 2 to 5 weeks with this turf toe variant injury for Brock Purdy. What was going through your mind when you heard that? And obviously, all eyes now on Mac Jones.
My first thought was just, I hope this isn't a lingering injury. You know, a freaking lingerer, man. You don't want one of those.
No.
I guess good news is that it's the left non-throwing shoulder for Brock Purdy, which if of the two shoulders, I'd rather that one get injured rather than the throwing shoulder. Not that I want his shoulders to get injured, obviously, but yeah, the turf toe thing, that I hope that's not one that will linger with him. I'm not a doctor enough to know whether it will or not. I'm not a doctor in any respect.
Just of takes.
Yeah, exactly. I have takes that are probably wrong, and maybe a real doctor can explain to me why I'm right or wrong. It's fine, probably wrong. But yeah, that's my initial thought. I don't want this to linger because he is the franchise quarterback. The Niners need Brock Purdy if they want to win a lot of football games. And obviously, yeah, Mac Jones, he, in Kyle Shanahan's eyes, is more than qualified to carry the load for a short period of time. And he did carry the load for the Jaguars last year after Trevor Lawrence went down. But this is a team that is meant to be led by Brock Purdy. And the sooner he gets back, the better. And hopefully it's not a super long-term absence. The schedule that's ahead of the Niners, it bodes well for them, I think, to not have an absolutely miserable time while Brock is out. If Brock can get back before that Rams game, that would be ideal. Probably not going to happen, though, since it's on a Thursday night in L.A. Maybe he's back for the Bucs game. But, yeah, Brock, just heal up, get back as soon as you can, because definitely need him under center.
You know, the more I started thinking about it, like, if this injury was going to happen at this point, and Shasky and I were kind of touching on it yesterday, like, this, like, good thing it's happening now. And I hate saying it that way, like, good thing, because you never want it to happen, but I mean, if you were
going
to pick any game for Brock to miss, it would be this one. Like, it'd be this one or, you know, I'm looking at the schedule, like the Titans towards the end of the year. But again, that's towards the end of the year when everyone's all banged up. And maybe the Titans, like, figure something out halfway through the season. Like, if I was to just pick any game at the start of the season, it's like, oh, Brock's got to miss this one. That sucks. It would be the Saints game because I have that much faith and confidence in Kyle Shanahan as a head coach going up against a first-time head coach and Kellen Moore, you know, a guy that's still, you know, very unproven at quarterback, and Spencer Rattler. I have no idea what he is yet.
I would choose a household name.
Yeah, well, I would choose this game if Brock was going to be out. Now, I don't want him to be out for 2 weeks, but again, out for the Cardinals. It's the home opener. We'll see how Mac looks this week. And I do want to ask 49er fans how they're feeling overall about Mac Jones and their confidence level in him heading into Sunday, because a lot of yesterday was, oh, Brock, oh, is he injury prone? Oh, I don't know. We paid him all this money. And I was like, I get it. All right, but it's Friday now. It's our, you know, speak now, forever hold our peace on this weekend when it comes to all of the sports action, and specifically on Sunday, 10 o'clock, Niner fans are going to try to be rallying around Mac Jones, and that's going to be the dude. And I promise you this, Sam, and I was telling Joe yesterday, he's going to have a play or two where he shows off his arm, which has a stronger arm than Brock. He just does. If you saw it at Bama, you saw it in New England, he's got an arm. He's going to show that off a couple times on Sunday, and Niner fans are going to be like, oh, I didn't know we had that. Now, it's up to, you know, the receivers to catch them. I don't know if they're capable of doing that.
No, he has to make sure he's actually throwing it to his receiver, too.
I think he will, but I'm glad you said that, because he is mistake prone. He'll do that. He'll toss him up. He'll make some mistakes. I mean, there's a reason he's backup right now in the NFL. Now, a lot of that, I think, was still out of his control when it came to the loss of Josh McDaniels, his offensive coordinator, in his first year at New England when he did make the playoffs as a rookie. Again, jumping into those shoes, talking about, you know, second acts to follow. I mean, following the GOAT. And I know everyone say, well, it was really Cam Newton their first. Yeah, but they drafted him to replace Tom Brady. Like,
yeah, that was Cam Newton was a hole, was a stopgap, fill in the blank for a year. This was, you're the franchise quarterback to follow the franchise quarterback that was Tom Brady.
So, thank you. So if you don't think that Mac Jones is ready and is fired up to play on Sunday, you got another thing coming. I mean, this guy has played and started and has played in playoff games. He's played in SEC football down in the South. Hell, he's probably, I don't know if he's played in the Superdome before. Maybe he has. I know his two games that he's played against the Saints as a professional, as a starter, he's actually 0-2, but both of those were at home in New England. So take that for what it's worth. 888-957-9570 is the number, though, Niner fans, to get involved. Call or text the Boxer and Gerson Work Injury Attorneys text line. Sammy, how you feeling about Mac Jones heading into this Sunday?
I guess the big question I have is, you know, does the physical attributes that he brings...
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah, you're seeing exactly,
you know,
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland,
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Brings to the table, is that enough to offset, you know, whatever maybe lack of instincts that Brock Purdy brings to the table? Mm-hmm. And the reason I say that is because, you know, everyone who's ever talked about Brock Purdy on this show, Baldy said this a lot, Brock's greatest strength is his instincts, his know-how. It's what goes on between his ears. And it's allowed him to get out of trouble a lot. It's allowed him to not make mistakes a lot. Sometimes it obviously gets him into trouble, as we saw at times last week. But it's part of why I think he's able to run Kyle Shanahan's offense so well. Does Mac Jones have those same instincts that Brock Purdy has? I mean, those are things that develop over time, so expecting that right away might be a bit much. Also, you know, I'm kind of concerned about this offensive line right now. I don't know what kind of Trent Williams we're going to get on Sunday, which... if he shows up and you see on the first drive that it's the Trent Williams that we know and love, those fears and concerns get dispelled pretty quickly. If the offensive line is shaky this week like it was last week, Brock does have the ability to get away from pass rushers who are chasing after him and trying to throw him into the dirt. Mac Jones, not as nimble on his feet. That is something that kind of worries me a little bit, but... on the flip side, I believe it was Moose Johnson told us this yesterday.
Moose.
Saints pass rush ain't all that special either. So this hopefully is, we talk about soft landing spots in the NFL, whether they exist or not, blah, blah, blah. Going against a lackluster pass rush when your offensive line is maybe not in the best shape, that makes me feel a little bit better for the overall chances of this team on Sunday.
888-957-9570. Sam Lubman filling in for Joe Shasky today alongside myself, Joe Spadoni. We'd love your participation, I should say, today. We got an action-packed guest list as we're talking 49ers Saints this Sunday in New Orleans. And again, Mac Jones is going to be the starter. And it's just crazy how life works sometimes, Sam. You were here at the station when we were doing all of this quarterback talk, Trey Lance, Jimmy Garoppolo, all that. 2021?
Lance will make you dance.
You were here. Were you producing the night show at that time?
I was, yeah, weekends and nights during that time.
All right. So we all remember that whole draft process was kind of crazy. It was after the COVID year. You know, everyone was still masked up. We were all wearing our masks and doing everything. And the talk of the town when that trade went down, and I remember because as soon as the morning roast ended, it was Steiny and Goo right after it, breaking it all down. Might have been Steiny, Goo, and Dibs, I want to say, at that iteration.
They always get the breaking news.
Well, they got it right at the start of the show. And I was doing half that show, and I remember everyone saying, okay, well, you only make a trade like that for a quarterback. And obviously, that was what was to come to fruition. But it was Trey Lance that it ended up being. And there's still part of me, Sam, that believes, again, shout out the X-Files, I want to believe, Mulder. I really think that Kyle Shanahan wanted to draft Mac Jones, number three overall. I really do believe that. I don't care if people say, and he could tell me, it was always Trey Lance, it was always, no, I think he traded up there with the intention of drafting Mac Jones. Now, maybe someone was in his ear. Maybe it was, you know, John Lynch or Scout X or saying, no, this guy, Trey Lance, I got to tell you. I think it's him. Like, do you buy that at all during that time, Sam? Does it still sound like a conspiracy theory? Because I brought up the tweet a million times yesterday. Adam Schefter, ESPN, who tweeted out 4 years ago. Actually, I think it was 4 years ago today, I want to say. Yeah, September 12th, 2021. Look at that.
Wow.
4 years to the day. Adam Schefter tweeting, one of the many reasons why the 49ers traded up to the number three spot in this year's NFL draft was their belief that the Patriots could trade up to the number three and beat them to Alabama quarterback Mac Jones. League sources told ESPN, Pats didn't, but still got their man. So the Niners were afraid that the Patriots were going to trade up for Jones, so they jumped the gun already, and then they backed up a little bit and said, we'll go with Trey Lance.
Yeah, from what I recall, it was the Niners wanted to make sure, because they were never going to get pick one or two, Trevor Lawrence or Zach Wilson. Those guys were locked in at one and two to the Jaguars and Jets, respectively. Those teams are not pivoting off of those guys. So by moving up to number three, the 49ers wanted to give themselves the option to have every quarterback that was worth taking left available to them, even if they had to kind of overreach, in a sense, to grab their guy. And so they wanted that optionality there. Did Kyle always want Mac? I'm sure that to a degree. But I always looked at it as Trey Lance kind of represented the kind of quarterback that was starting to kind of take over in the NFL at that time. Remember, we had just seen Patrick Mahomes win a Super Bowl, a guy who can run a little bit and throw. We had seen Russell Wilson for the better part of a decade, a guy who can run around and throw. Josh Allen was on the rise as a guy who can run around and throw. That was kind of the hot thing, was the quarterback who can sling the ball 60 yards downfield, but also scramble around a little bit and extend a play and maybe use his legs to make a play as well. And Trey Lance represented that, whereas Mac Jones was kind of more in the Jimmy Garoppolo, Tom Brady kind of, I'm going to stand in the pocket and pick you apart that way. I thought it was Kyle's attempt to try and maybe expand his offense with a different kind of quarterback. And it didn't work out with Trey Lance. If Lance played better, it would have been interesting to see what that different universe looks like. But that's how I kind of figured that Kyle Shanahan got from Mac Jones to Trey Lance. It's like he wanted to basically try and hop on this new trend of, you know, throwing quarterbacks that can run.
What if I told you that Mac Jones actually had a faster 40 time in the draft, in the combine, I should say, than Brock Purdy? What if I told you that? Would you believe me? He did.
Wow.
Mac Jones, 40-yard dash to the combine, ran a 4.82 40. Brock Purdy, 4.84. Just saying.
Oh, okay.
Just saying.
Oh, well, then the Niners are in a much better position now.
Just saying.
Yes, to your point, Joe, too.
Thank you, Mia O'Brien. And we'll actually hear from Mia O'Brien on the other side, because she was very optimistic on how Mac Jones is going to look in the San Francisco 49ers offense. I am, too. I wonder how optimistic Niner fans are with Mac Jones as the starting quarterback this Sunday in New Orleans. 888-957-9570. Are they more optimistic about the 49ers' chances of winning this weekend or the Giants? That's also a question we will monitor throughout the show as the Giants are taking on the Dodgers. We'll get to Richie and Queens on the other side. More of your calls, more of your texts. Sam Lubman in for Joe Shasky on the Morning Roast, and it's going to be brought to you by Moderna.
Garoppolo fires. It is caught. Still on his feet is Kittle with a big
Hi, I'm Patrick Willis, and welcome back to the Morning Roast.
I love that Patrick Willis rejoin. Sam Lubman in for Shasky alongside myself, Joe Spadoni. Kevin Burkhardt on the call, Fox Sports. That was back on December 8th, 2019. 48-46, the final. Down in New Orleans, the Superdome.
That's where the Niners are at this Sunday.
That's right, Sam.
Oh, it all makes sense.
There you go.
Yeah.
Shout out Carter Chickering in the back, holding it down, the solo man.
It's not easy to do.
And he's fighting through adversity. That's what the 49ers are going to try to do this Sunday without their quarterback. So basically, I'm equating Carter Chickering right now to Mac Jones.
They're basically the same people.
Can we get a Mac Jones type of performance from Carter today, or vice versa, I should say, because Carter's setting the tone.
The standard is the standard.
Thank you, Mike. Thank you. Speaking of the standard, Richie in Queens has set the standard for Giants talk this year for callers, and we're going to go to him in a second, Sammy, because I love that he is from Queens, because there's a team right now, and they are Tom Pettying all over the place. They're free-falling. Six losses in a row for your New York Mets. 76-71. They're still the third spot in the NL wild card, but clinging to that by just a game and a half because the Reds and the Giants are both tied at 74-72 right behind them. And wouldn't it be sweet? Giants Dodgers, meaningful baseball in September, starting tonight, Verlander v. Yamamoto to take this series. Hell, or you could sweep them. There's a scenario, Sam. Come Monday, you're in the playoff picture. You're legitimately in the playoffs in the third spot. Just a month ago, that seemed laughable. Absolutely. Hell, last weekend, it seemed like that.
A lot of what's going on this weekend would have been laughable a month ago. Again, whether it's the Giants being in a position to actually get into the playoffs, whether it's actually relying on Mac Jones to win you a football game.
Blow it up!
As the great philosopher Daryl the Guru Johnson once said, sports, man.
You can go anywhere there. As Daryl Guru Johnson said, by the way, we had Daryl Johnston on
different
yesterday.
Daryl Johnston,
no,
yeah.
But like the host in me was like thrown off because I kept wanting to call
that
him like
T is huge.
Daryl Johnson. It was throwing me off. It was. I'm gonna be honest, but I fought through adversity yesterday, and it was a great interview. If you missed any of it, Daryl Johnston, who's going to be on the call for Fox Sports alongside Kevin Kugler for the Niners Saints, joined us yesterday. And find it on YouTube or the Odyssey app. By the way, we got some news that we're going to get to in regards to the Golden State Valkyries. The major news, because we now know their playoff matchup starts this Sunday as well. Not sure I love the start time, but you know what?
What is the start time? Since you teased it now, you might as well just get into it.
It's on 10 o'clock.
Sorry, it's what?
10 a.m.
10 a.m.?
Yeah.
Pacific time?
Yeah.
That's, let me.
What day again?
Sunday.
That's the same time as the Niner game. Oh, that's so unfortunate.
Yeah.
Oh.
But
you can't even dual screen it because you're already going to have like six screens up because of red zone.
Oh, no. But that means come 1 o'clock on Sunday, Sammy, when both those games are over, we'll all be locked into what?
Well, I guess that afternoon. So, oh, yeah, that's right. Giants Dodgers.
Giants Dodgers. Come on, Sam. You're wearing the jersey.
Of course I'm going to be locked in on that. I'll be there tonight and tomorrow.
Nice. Covering the game. Sweet.
Yep. I need Giants fans to be there, too, this weekend. Like, honestly, and I made this point on Garlic Fries and Baseball Guy's most recent episode, which is available right now. Giants fans, we got to show up this weekend. Again, if you can. I know tickets are expensive, so I'm not going to say, you know, go and take out your kids' college fund so you can get to the game this weekend. Well, but If you're able to get down there this weekend, please get down there. I'm sick and tired of going to Oracle Park for Giants-Dodgers games and seeing all those blue people walking around. I don't want them there this weekend. Let's make Oracle orange all weekend long. All right,
man,
Giants fans?
Very emotional.
Yes, I'm
going
to be very emotional about this because I'm tired of it happening. I want to take our ballpark back this weekend, Giants fans.
Well, maybe Richie in Queens will make the flight out here. Who knows? Richie, what's up, man? You're on the Morning Roast. How are we feeling about the Giants?
All right, good. Real quick with the football, if with Mac Jones, that's the best scenario that could happen for the Niners, okay? And that is playing the Saints. I know it's on the road. And having Shanahan as his coach, I think he's going to do well. I really do. So, again, you don't want to lose Purdy, but I think Mac Jones will give you...
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
A really good performance. I just bought tickets for that game, by the way, when the Niners come into the Giants on November 2nd. So I'm looking forward to that, although I think my Giant team could be 1-5. It doesn't look very good. With the Mets, you know, I watched the game last night. This is something I haven't seen, guys. I'm 65 years watching. He gives up 4 runs, Lozado, in the first inning. They go 25 and out, the Mets, the rest of the game.
Wow.
He goes 8 innings. That hadn't happened in Philly since Carlton in 77. So to say that they are free-falling and they're freaking out over here in New York Radio, WFAN, I mean, they're just giving up at this point. You know, obviously baseball, you can turn it around. All right, getting to this series. I am cautiously optimistic. Look, I don't want to be one of those people that says, oh, it's my team, I got 100%, come on. I'm rooting for them. I agree. We have to. I know 6 members of my family out there are going, and they go to maybe 2 or 3 games a year. So that's part of the getting the blue out of there right now. But, you know, Muncy's back. Betts is starting to hit a little bit. Yamamoto's pitching better. Verlander's been very good. You know, obviously our hitting, I don't want to say we fall off a cliff, how bad, you know. We were, Joe, when we talked, there was no shot that we thought we'd get to this point. Not having the tiebreakers are hurt. You know, we do have the tiebreaker with the Reds. So if it got down to, because we got the division record between the two. So if it got down between us and the Reds, we'd get in. But at 15 games to go, 1 game at a time, I think this is an absolute pivotal game tonight to get this one for momentum, and obviously I think DeGrom is pitching against the Mets tonight, guys. So Texas is coming in, and Bochy and Texas have been very hot. So this is unbelievable that we're even speaking about this, that it's got to this point. And, you know, guys have been stepping it up. Obviously, Adames and Eden Chapman I've been very hard on, because I had said to you, Joe, how many games they left on the table. And you could say that for a lot of teams, but more so than ever that I watched all these years, where one hit by Adames, one hit by Chapman, one hit by Devers the first 25 games, it would have been 2 or 3 wins. And I kept thinking with 2 men, you know, with 2 games short, but we're at a point now where it's who gets hot the rest of the year. So get the bats going. I like what Bailey's doing. I mean, he's been caught for us back at the lineup. Obviously, Gilbert gives us that little thrust. The bullpen has to hold up. You know, and they've been pretty good. Budo's been good, and Lucchese's been tremendous, and Walker, he can be good, and the kid Picero. So, hey, let's go, and I don't want to say it's house money, because I really want to get there. It'll be an amazing story, but tonight is going to be an awesome game.
Oh, it's going to be great. Hey, great stuff, Richie in Queens. We appreciate that. Huge series starting tonight down at Oracle Park. Meaningful baseball in September. That was the goal, right? We all agreed that was the goal.
It's what we like
all
to see.
Here. It's meaningful, and it's Giants-Dodgers. Doesn't get any better than that. Oh, wait, it does. Because now, Carter, it's time. It's all right. You got your finger up. You're telling me it's all right. I didn't mean to put you on the spot there. It's so good. Yep, there it is. It's time. for the Golden State Valkyrie Strongest Player of the Game, brought to you by El Camino Health. Our strength, your health. And the Valk season, the regular season, that is, came to a tough end last night in a 72-53 point loss to the Minnesota Lynx. It was close at one point in the third quarter thanks to the heroic effort of one Ileana Rupere.
Here's Burton, back to Rupere. Back-to-back threes for... Yes, sir, Rupere does it! That shocked me! I wasn't expecting it! Back-to-back triples for Ileana Rupere. It was quick. She did not hesitate.
I caught Deuce Mason. He's head on a swivel, Deuce. Come on, man. But that was right here on 95.7 The Game. You're home for Golden State Valkyries basketball. Next up for the Valks, their first ever playoff series. That's right. I mean, it doesn't matter if they're an expansion team in their first year. They make the playoffs.
Getting there in your first year like they did this year when everyone expected them to win 8 games or something like that.
It's incredible.
That alone is a massive accomplishment. We should not take anything away from that.
Well, Richie's saying Giants are kind of playing with house money. No. The Valkyries are playing with house money. But that being said, Sam.
Valkyries basically invented house money with how much they're playing with right now.
That being said, go win. Go shock the world. Oh. Why not? Go beat the Minnesota Lynx.
Would that be one of the most, that would be one of the most incredible playoff upsets in Bay Area history if they pulled that off?
It's a 3-game set. So, if those of you who are just starting getting into WNBA basketball, you think it's the same playoff seeding as, the NBA, it's not. The first round is 3 games. They, if there's ever a time for an upset like that, it would be this year. Now, it's a quick turnaround. You just got humbled by the same team. But again, I'll remind people. Golden State Warriors, once upon a time, 2007, we believe.
It can happen.
It could happen. And by the way,
Frank and Burton going to do the big dunk on Nafisa Collier?
You can't. That's pretty good.
Baron Davis dunk?
Not bad.
Is that name the only Minnesota Lynx player that I know? Shout out Matt Lively for that information.
Shout out our
By the way, guy, game Matt two Lively. Of that series, if the Valkyries can pull it off on Sunday somehow and get their first win over the top seed in Minnesota Lynx, Wednesday night at SAP.
And again.
Valhalla goes to San Jose. That. If they're up 1-0 in that game,
it's going to be crazy.
Oh, it's going to be one of the craziest atmospheres ever.
And again, the first game of that series, Sunday at 10 a.m. That was the Strongest Player in the Game, brought to you by El Camino Health. Our strength, your health. And again, you can't spell believe without a V. Shout out to Valkyries. What's coming up? The game is brought to you by Fremont Bank. Here for you, here for good. More of your calls, more of your texts. Mac Jones is starting for the San Francisco 49ers. Wrap your head around that, people. It's happening, and I'm here to tell you, the 49ers might win big on Sunday.
What?
I'll explain on the other side on 95.7 The Game.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, 2-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.